Okay, we're going to call this March 10th meeting to order. First thing on the agenda, I would like to welcome fellow citizen and business colleague, Mr. Ron Wolf, to the commission. Welcome, sir. We are glad to have you. And with that said, I will now ask Bobby if she would go ahead and perform the roll call.
Alan Edwards.
Here.
Jason Dale.
Here.
Kathy Stir.
Here.
Ron Wolf.
Here.
Patrick Johnson.
Here.
Philip Smith.
Here.
Gary Bliss. Not here.
Excused.
Luis Saavedra.
Here.
As is our tradition, we open our meetings usually with a famous quote. Tonight, I would like to quote Mr. John Wooden. Whatever you do in life, surround yourself with smart people who will argue with you. That said, I would like to open at this time the floor to the public if they would like to discuss anything other than what's on the agenda. Okay. Seeing none. I would like to ask everybody if they would, if they have their cell phones, if you would please put them on silent or vibrate, and we're going to go ahead and proceed into the meeting. A couple things. I'd like to have the review of the consent calendar. Commissioners, if you could look at the meeting minutes.
Mr. Chair, I move that we accept the meeting minutes. We approve the minutes from our last meeting.
I'll second.
Very well. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? None? Very well. Okay. Tonight, we have a quasi-judicial public hearing. For those of you in the audience, if you would like to speak or make comment, we ask that you please fill out these blue forms, which are back at the table. We appreciate your attendance tonight. We always welcome public input in meetings like this. It's great to hear what you have to say, and what you have to say is very important to us. So if you would like to speak, if you have not filled out a form, please fill out that form at this time. I do have required reading at this time. I don't want to put anybody to sleep, but sit back and relax. Quasi-judicial hearing, public hearing process, testimony and evidence requirements. ORS 197.763 requires certain statements to be made at the commencement of a public hearing. The applicable city and state zoning criteria must be listed. This means that we must advise you of the standards that must be satisfied by the applicant prior to our approval of an application. The planning staff will list the applicable criteria during his or her presentation of the staff report. Persons wishing to participate in this hearing must direct their testimony or the evidence towards the criteria stated by the planner or other specific state or city criteria which you may believe apply. You must tell us why the testimony or evidence relates to the criteria. Any issue which might be raised in an appeal of this case to the Land Use Board of Appeals, LUBRA, must be raised in person or by letter at the local level prior to the city approving or denying the application. The law states that the issue must be raised in enough detail to afford the decision maker and the parties an opportunity to respond. This part of the law is also known as the raise it or waive it requirement. If you do not bring it up now, you cannot bring it up at LUBRA. Failure of the applicant to raise constitutional or other issues relating to proposed conditions of approval in enough detail to allow the local government or its designee to respond to the issue precludes an action for damages in circuit court. Prior to the conclusion of the initial evidentiary hearing on the application, any participant may request an opportunity to present additional evidence or testimony regarding the application. The Planning Commission will grant such a request through a continuance or extension of the record. At this time, I would like to ask the commissioners if there's any abstentions or bias ex parte contact or objections to jurisdiction.
Mr. Chair, I happened to be sitting by my friend Bill Rourke at a baseball game, and he mentioned that he would be coming to the Planning Commission to talk about an annexation having to do with some property of his. And I said, well, if that's the case, then we better not talk about it anymore. And so we just watched the baseball game. I don't think there's any problem here, but we did have this ex parte contact, but not about anything having to do with the application.
Very well. You'll remain unbiased in your...
And yes, Mr. Chair, reading my packet, I realized the water pump station they mentioned inside the packet serves my house. So I like water. However, I don't think that'll cause any bias for me, as I'm fairly confident the city will make sure my house continues to have water. So,
very well. Any other commissioners' comments? Okay. At this point, I would like to turn it over to the staff for the staff report.
Thank you very much. Jessica Pels, Planning Department. First, I want to say to the audience, if any of you want to speak, I know there's a number of you, please fill out a blue form and give it to Bobby. Okay, we're here tonight for the Rourke annexation. This request is to annex 2.29 acres into Newburgh and change the zoning from Yamhill County very low density residential 1 acre minimum to Newburgh R1, which is low density residential. The comprehensive plan designation is low density residential, which is consistent with the R1 zoning their applicant is proposing. It's located at 4016 North College Street, directly north of the Newburgh city limits on the east side of College Street / Highway 219. Tax lot 3208-2900, and the applicable criteria are Development Code sections 15.250-20, 15.250-30, and 15.302-30. Here's a location map of the property. You can see it's in the very north Newburgh as College Street turns into Highway 219 officially and goes north there. So I'm going to go through a summary of the criteria as they're listed more fully in the staff report. But the first criteria, 15.250.20, is conditions for annexation. The site must be within the UGB or the urban growth boundary or the urban reserve area and contiguous to the existing city limits. The Rourke property is located within the UGB and is contiguous to the Newburgh city limits along its southern boundary. We are requesting that Planning Commission add a condition in the resolution. We've already added it in there as a draft. For the applicant to revise the legal description of the property to be annexed to include the area to the center line of the right-of-way. And that just provides continuity of the city limits so that when properties across the right-of-way want to annex, they're contiguous. Here's a close view of the property. Can everyone see that okay? We can turn down the lights a little bit. Good. So you can see it's contiguous to the city limits on the south side, and it's right there on the east side of 219. The next criteria is 15.250.30, the quasi-judicial annexation criteria. These criteria are basically that it's compatible with coming into the city, that we have adequate services. So the proposal complies with the comprehensive plan, and it does because the comprehensive plan designation already on it when it brought into the UGB was low density residential, and they're proposing R1, which is the consistent zoning. An adequate level of urban services is available within 3 years, which is sewer, water, roads. This was the biggest issue facing the application when they first submitted the application, and during the completeness review, we had there was a long period of time where we were discussing back and forth the adequacy of the water. And as Patrick noted, it's served by a water line that was previously extended across the property to the North Valley Friends and Veritas School properties as part of a development agreement the city had with North Valley Friends in 2010. Now, when they went to test that water line, the hydrant, there wasn't enough flow. in the Oak Knoll neighborhood. And we looked further at the water master plan and noted that the booster pump station there was only to serve that subdivision. And also, there had been delayed maintenance on this, on the pump station. So the pumps, once they were cleaned, then the flow was fine to the subdivision. But they just needed to be cleaned and reassessed. And now maintenance is happening again. But it was kind of deferred for a while. So we asked the applicant to review the pump station and see what upgrades might be necessary to serve his future development and North Valley Friends and Veritas Church. So the applicant did hire AKS Engineering and Forestry, and they did an analysis, an engineered analysis of the pump station, and determined what would be necessary to upgrade it to serve that development, and they included a cost estimate. So with that information, staff is confident that adequate services can be available and can be made available, and we see what exactly has to happen. So we're comfortable with that. There's an adequate level of urban services within 3 years that can be made available. There is a sewer line extended across the property per the same development agreement to North Valley Friends and Veritas. That has adequate capacity. Sewer is gravity, and so it goes south there. Future development of the property, like all properties, will require right-of-way dedication along Highway 219, College Street there, and street improvements. And police, fire, parks, and schools are available. This property is within the urban growth boundary and considered urbanizable. That's the sort of thing we account for when we do UGB amendments. In addition, we send notice and the full application, actually, to police, fire, CPRD, school district, utilities. And the purpose of that is to allow them the opportunity to comment on whether or not they have any issues with the application. Police didn't return any comments. Fire returned a reviewed no comments, and so did the school district. Here's a map showing utilities. This is not that easy to see, but water is blue, sewer is green, stormwater is orange. And I've also noted the Oak Knoll booster pump station down here. And here's the property. So there's a water line. Our GIS isn't quite reflecting the new sewer line up there or the new water line going across. The next criteria is 15-302-30, comprehensive plan map and zoning map amendments. These are also basic consistency findings. The proposal is consistent with comprehensive plan and development code. Public facilities and services are or can be available to support the proposed uses. And compliance with the state transportation planning rule for proposals that significantly affect transportation policies. So, as we've already noted, the first two findings are compliant, so they do have public facilities within the 3 years. The proposal is consistent with the comp plan designation and the other development code criteria. And then we have what we call TPR, the Transportation Planning Rule, and that's for every zone change that is upzoning, which would be adding trips to the system. So more uses are allowed in the new zone that used to be allowed. They have to do what's called TPR analysis, and that is saying, is there capacity in the road system? Now, TPR doesn't actually apply to annexations that are matching the comp plan designation to the proposed zoning. And that the reason for that is because when you bring a property into the urban growth boundary, you have already done that kind of analysis for adequate road capacity. So we find that they are consistent with TPR because they're proposing the R1 zoning, which is consistent with the LDR comp plan designation. We already have an acknowledged TSP that included this property as urbanizable, and TSP is Transportation System Plan. So we already have that. This property was brought into the UGB in 2006, and the UGB was adopted in 2005, but during that process, they were all analyzed together because the UGB process was concurrent. Here's a map showing the comprehensive plan and zoning designations. So this outside of the city limits, properties have a comp plan designation. And then inside the city limits, they have a comprehensive plan designation and zoning. So LDR and R1 are consistent. Here we have, I think, some R2, and that would be MDR. So here you can see it's LDR, and this property is LDR. These properties adjacent are PQ, and that means public, quasi-public, and that's commonly for things like church facilities, and that would be consistent because this is the North Valley Friends and Veritas properties. Here's an aerial view of the property. There's a single-family residence on there right now. This is the church facility, and here's the Oak Knoll subdivision. Staff recommendation is that Planning Commission adopt Planning Commission Resolution 2016-316, which recommends that the City Council approve the requested annexation and zone change. And I apologize for the small font. This is a PowerPoint template. I didn't know it was that small.
Any questions for staff at this point before we move to public testimony?
Yes, Mr. Chair. Since a couple of us are relatively new, I wanted to kind of lay down and figure out the rules of the road this evening. So just so I understand it completely, any questions about the specific design or access issues, those types of things that aren't related to the annexation, should be held until a development plan comes through us. Is that correct?
Well, you can certainly ask questions, but they are not held to the concept development plan that they submit with the application. It's just an application requirement for annexation. Basically, they're allowed to do anything that would be permitted in R1. Okay. And technically, a subdivision wouldn't be coming to Planning Commission in the future. Okay. It would just be, you know, in accordance with the development code.
Okay.
So if you have questions and you want us to clarify those, you can certainly ask.
Okay. Or just to put it to staff to say, in the future when this comes up, could we watch this? That those type of comments, are those okay?
Sure. I mean, you can always voice your concerns. Yeah.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
Any other questions from the commissioners? Very well. At this time, we will open the public testimony. I would like to add, this is our criteria for the public testimony. You'll be given a 5-minute time limit per speaker, 15-minute time limit for the applicant and principal opponent. The speaker goes to witness table, states his name, and presents testimony, and then the commission may ask questions of you. So at this time, I would like to call forth Mr. Bill Rourke. Mr. Rourke, if you could hit the button there on that, very good.
Bill Rourke, who's applying for this annexation. Chair Edwards, Planning Commission, and staff, thank you for giving me an opportunity to testify on behalf of our annexation application. My wife, Merlene, and I have lived in Newburgh for 51 years now. I moved here from Boise so that I could complete my undergraduate studies at George Fox, which I did, seems like a lifetime ago now. But in 1973, we built this little house up on the property that we're discussing now. And at that time, there were several fields and orchards that separated us from the city. If you've been around long, you know how that's evolved over time. But we knew at the time that the city would be expanding in our direction. And in the early parts of this century, I love saying that, in 2016, the property now housing the Oak Knoll subdivision was annexed into the city, and our property became immediately contiguous to the city limits. There was certain trauma associated with that as the orchards were bulldozed. In any case, we moved to the Friends View Retirement Community in 2010, shortly after I retired, and that's where we live at this point in time. In 2014, we began the process of applying for an annexation to the city, and our hope was to use the resources of that site, which we'd had for those years, to supplement our retirement income. And we're working directly with a Newburgh developer, Jim Fisher, from Prime Time Development, who has developed several small subdivisions in the city. The property is in question, as you have heard, is within the urban growth group, both urban growth boundary and contiguous with the city on its south border. Supplying the required materials for this application was not difficult, except for one consideration, which has been alluded to, and the expectation is that within 3 years of annexation, adequate wastewater and water service would be provided for the development. In 2014, we granted at no cost an easement across our property for both water and wastewater lines to be installed to the Veritas School, also supplied North Valley Friends Church at some future time. Because part of our site is at the 300-foot elevation, the pump station serving Oak Knoll Subdivision needs to be utilized to supply that needed water. So as was alluded to, we hired AKS Engineering. I'm learning a lot about how much it costs to do these sorts of things. to look at that, evaluate that pump station, and they've provided the information that you've got in your packet that details the upgrading work that will be required to serve our development, and not just our development, but the Veritas School and Church as well, since it makes no sense to upgrade it three or four times as annexation requests come down the pike. With that work completed, I believe the planning department and city engineers and so forth have agreed that our application meets all the requirements in the Newburgh Development Code. So we look forward to a successful completion of this process with the hope that your approval of this application will be sent on to the City Council quickly, and that the annexation request may be presented to the voters for approval in November. That would be our dream. And that's about what I need to say. Thanks for letting me share that little story.
Thank you.
And I bet I didn't take 5 minutes.
That was very good. Any questions, commissioners, for Mr. Rourke? Seeing none, thank you very much, Mr. Rourke, for your time to come out and speak. Bobby, do we have any other forms?
No.
Are there any others in the audience that would like to speak? We ask that you proceed to the table to fill out a blue form. Are there any? Seeing no hands.
We did receive one additional written comment, and I sent it via email. I'm not sure. I sent you guys to your Newburgh email, and I sent you a reminder to your private emails, but I was afraid that you probably wouldn't have gotten that. So we do have copies. I can hand those out, and I can also read it into the record, or you can take a few minutes to read it yourselves, whatever you like, Chair.
It's only one page. If you'd like to read it so we have it on record, that'd be great.
Okay. Jessica. This is from Robert Suppy. Please accept the following as written testimony for the 3/10/2016 Planning Commission meeting, specifically Resolution 2016-316. I'm afraid that I'll not be able to attend the meeting in person. I have no general objection to the proposed annexation, but I believe that one of the criteria has not been met. I don't doubt that it could be met, but more complete information is needed before the Planning Commission can properly assess that the proposal meets our requirements. I'm referring specifically to finding B, subsection C. Findings documenting the availability of police, fire, parks, and school facilities and services shall be made to allow for conclusionary findings either for or against the proposed annexation. The adequacy of these services shall be considered in relation to annexation proposals. The findings rely on either no comment or a lack of comment as documentation of the availability of services. The Planning Commission should not accept this. The standard is that the availability is documented, not that there is a lack of objection. Similarly, the statement, there is no information to suggest that city services could not support, should be rejected as not meeting the criteria. The findings include the statement, in fact, future development of the site helps fund these city services. This should also be rejected as it is incomplete. The future development produces a burden on the city services that may or may not be completely offset by the tax revenue generated by the development. Unless it is shown that the revenue provided by this site is greater than the cost to the city for the services, then the statement is not supported. In the past, this was handled more thoroughly on annexations, at least in terms of police and fire services. City staff would provide a calculation showing the cost of these services projected for the site, using the rest of the city as a basis, and compare that to the city's portion of the expected property tax revenue for the site. The calculation is quite simple and should not present a significant burden to whomever provides it. This was later simplified to a calculation for single-family homes of the developed property value above which revenues exceed the burden. About 10 years ago, this value was around $250,000. I think it is inappropriate to claim that the property will help fund the services without some sort of calculation to show that it will actually do so. I am not arguing that an annexation should be denied if it places a larger burden on city services than it funds. I am only arguing that the Planning Commission needs to have more information in order to decide that the proposal meets the annexation criteria. Thank you for your consideration. Robert Suppy.
Thank you, Jessica. Would staff like to comment on the letter at this point?
Yes, I think we could comment on that. We did used to do a calculation, and I believe when Robert was on city council, this was something he wanted, and I did a little research and found that we stopped doing this analysis in 2006. And I think in part because it's kind of, what's the word? It doesn't really give a complete picture, and it's kind of, I think, a little too simplistic. And Barton had done a whole Excel spreadsheet basically about property taxes, the revenues, and the public safety, and the FTE. And then I found the finding for one of the staff reports in 2006 for annexation was equating that the current level of public safety service for the city and then the annexed properties would generate revenue, basically equating that the level of public safety would be improved. But that's not necessarily the case. And so I think it's a little too simplistic to say, well, it's single-family home, so it's going to generate revenue, which will provide more police officers, because that revenue goes into general fund, which is allocated out through budget committee, city council. And so it's not as simple as saying, we're going to have more police officers now. And the other thing is, when we do that sort of analysis, it kind of gets into an equity-based analysis where multifamily might not generate revenue to cover the expenses. So would that mean that it shouldn't be brought into the city? I think a more appropriate place to do that sort of analysis is at the urban growth boundary level, because that's when we're looking out 20 years. And so the school district looks out, and they have their own planning to looking into the future, and so does the parks district, and so does the city. And so when we're doing our urban growth boundary analysis, we're looking at all those services. So I think as a result of that, we stopped doing those sort of findings and instead do a more simple finding that, yes, we have police and fire. Doug, do you want to add on to that?
I agree with Jessica. I've done analysis in the past when we've been looking at lands that are being brought into an urban growth boundary, and we do this, I've done this kind of analysis, so you're looking at the types of uses, the values that are there, what kind of services that they would demand, and looking, is that a positive into the general fund or to the other taxing districts, or is it a negative? And often if it was coming into a negative, then you would rethink your land use pattern to try to balance that all out. Jessica and I talked, and she showed me the calculation was done. And when you get down specific and you're looking at just single family alone, you've then excluded all the commercial industrial. So it's like looking down a microscope, and you're not seeing the full picture because there's different values. So, you know, as homeowners, you get a tax bill, and it has a certain millage rate on that. But there's a different value for industrial land. There's a different value for commercial land, and there's a different value for single-family lands. And there's a thing called a changed area ratio. So what the real market value is, typically what you see a house is somewhere around 65 to 70%. That's its assessed value versus the real market value. Commercial is usually around 70 to 72%. Industrial is closer to, you know, 90 to 100%. It just depends. It depends on the equipment you have and depreciation schedules. So when you look at just single-family alone and exclude everything else, you've lost that balance because all of these are feeding into the taxing authorities in order to provide the services. The other part of that is that for schools, is property taxes are a small amount of their revenue that comes in because they have a student calculation through the state, and so they get so much per particular student that goes in, and then they get other outside funds as well. We have talked with the school district within the last year. We were talking about growth and development occurring within the city, and looking at that is, would the school district need to provide any additional facilities you know, over the course of the next 5 years or so. And based on the conversation we had was, no, they had capacity within their existing facilities to accommodate what we were anticipating would be a curve from annexations and residential development. So that's ancillary. We don't have that in writing, but at least that was a conversation. So here, really, when you read the criteria is, and Jessica mentioned this, is we send this information out to all of those other organizations to get their feedback. If one comes back and says, we don't have any comment, then we take that as they've looked at it. They do not have an issue then about providing the services. If we get no comment at all, we're also taking that as they don't have a particular issue. If somebody gave us one that had some concern, then we would put that into the staff report and the commission would have to then consider that.
Very well.
I'd like to follow up. I think I understand what was said, and I want to summarize and see if you agree. The Plan Commission decisions do have an effect on the city budget, but the way that effect is happens is when you have different kinds of land, and if you look only at one kind of land, you're not getting enough of the picture to make a reasonable judgment. So this is why it was important back in 2006 when we realized our long-range plan didn't have enough industrial land in it. And so it's getting the right balance in the larger picture. You can't get the right balance when you look at a single piece.
That's right. And also the urban growth boundary amendment, you're making that judgment at that time to bring in these properties of what's needed. And so when it's in the UGB, you've technically already made that decision that it's needed.
If the planning is done well at that stage, then when you come to the individual bits, you rely on your planning and you move ahead. Yeah.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Commissioner.
I just want to make sure I completely understand. And when I heard the letter, and I did not have a chance to read it, I apologize. Is that almost like calculating an ROI for each annexation that comes in that's residential? Is that kind of, am I?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
But that doesn't give you the full picture.
Oh,
that only gives you only the snapshot about a particular development at a point in time.
Mm-hmm. And I would just like to say that to me, you know, you can go at this as a city as a business. I mean, that's a great philosophy that some people have. Or you can go at this as that we're a community and we need to make sure we have balance. So that way we also have, while we service those people in our community that give them housing options, the other factors we need to look in, not just does this fiscally make sense, but we also need to look at facts like there's a 37-acre LDR land deficiency for our 2030 housing needs. So, again, I completely agree with what you're saying, and I think it's almost a philosophical argument that, you know, this needs to make sense dollars and cents wise when really you need to look at the bigger socioeconomic impact of any annexation we take, you know. And I'm sure if we had a kerosene plant that wanted to come to town, the fire department would have something to say about it, you know. So I also wanted to state that I've looked at a number of planning commission documents in my career, and Newburgh is not doing anything different than every other city around the state when fire and police say no comment, or the school district has no comment. That's a regularity across the state. So I don't see an overly big concern about the letter that came in. Thank you.
Anyone else? Very well. Mr. Rourke, as the applicant, you have an opportunity for rebuttal if you feel you need to speak. If not, very well. We will close the public hearing at this point. I would like to ask for any closing comments from the staff and their recommendation.
Thank you. Final staff recommendation is that Planning Commission adopt Planning Commission Resolution 2016-316, which recommends that the City Council approve the requested annexation and zone change.
Any questions, any other questions from commissioners before we go on deliberation?
I did have one. I'm talking a lot tonight. I'm sorry, guys. I did have one quick question. In the analysis under G on page 8, Down at the bottom, it says the planning commission should place a condition that the applicant to revise their legal description to include the center line of adjacent Highway 219 right-of-way to provide for continuity of city limits. Was that done in this resolution, or is that something we need to do in addition?
That is in the resolution under the resolves number 2.
Okay, thank you. I couldn't connect the dots. Blonde.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Commissioner Starr.
I move that we approve Planning Commission Resolution 2016-316.
Second.
We have a second. Any discussion?
Mr. Chair, in terms of a annexation, I have never seen an easier decision. This is a no-brainer, as they say.
Commissioners, any further discussion?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, before we vote, just a technicality. Ron hasn't been sworn in. Can he vote, and is that okay? Or
Mr. Wolf does not need to be sworn in. There is no technical legal requirement for the swearing-in. That was more of a ceremonial aspect that occurred for a number of years, then stopped for a number of years, then started up again and has stopped again.
As a formality.
Just do your initiation later.
As a formality, yeah, we did discuss that prior, and the mayor will have a more of a formal swearing in at our next meeting. At this time, I'd like to call for a question.
I'm hurt. You never asked if I ever got sworn in. I don't think I ever got sworn in either.
Commissioner, the same question came up when you came on board, and the answer was the same as I gave tonight. It's not a requirement that it be done.
I'm just hurt that nobody. Oh, okay. I guess not. So, and I did have one statement I alluded to earlier I wanted to make about this annexation, and that is simply when people hit, I believe it's Foothills Drive to turn in the last subdivision here, it turns into the Autobahn when people head over the hill. And so the only thing I would say is just a concern about the application is that access there. You know, it's only 11 houses, but still people are going at a good clip up the hill. And if there's any way we can slow down traffic going up that way, that would be awesome. So that was pretty much my only concern.
I will call for question at this point. Bobby, would you like to take a roll call vote?
Okay. Alan Edwards?
Yes.
Jason Dale?
Yes.
Kathy Stirr?
Yes.
Ron Wolf?
Yes.
Patrick Johnson?
Yes.
Philip Smith?
Yes.
That'll do.
6-0. Congratulations, Mr. Rourke. Would like again to thank all who attended tonight. You got a good chance to see your public planning commission in action. We always welcome our public input. We value your opinions. We're here to represent you, the people. So thank you again for your attendance. At this point, I would like to ask staff, do you have any further
updates? Doug Rux, Community Development Director. So Monday, we've only had one council meeting since your last meeting in February. So the bypass and the agreement of understanding. I have collected 5 of the 6 signatures. The 6th one has been approved. We are awaiting that. So the last 2 that got approved were today by both Clackamas County and Yamhill County. So hopefully I will get the final signature tomorrow. And then we will send out the final document with all of the attached signatures to all of the parties. And we'll be able to move forward with that. The public hearing on the bypass, the Highway 219 southbound lane, was held on Monday evening. It was passed by council as well. So Jessica will be putting together material for those who testified, Planning Commission. We had no testimony other than the applicant at the City Council, and get that notice out. Council on Monday night did approve the intergovernmental agreement between the City of Newburgh and Tualatin Valley Fire and Rescue. So that document, that IGA will get its appropriate signatures, and that will take effect on July 1st of 2016. Utility rates. I won't get into the details, but the council did look at all three of those on Monday evening. They approved the water rate increases. The stormwater was referred back to the Rate Review Committee. The stormwater, the resolution was modified slightly. There was a provision in the code that if the rate went up greater than 3% above the CPI, is that there had to be some referral language in there, so that was added in. So that's still being worked through. So one of them got approved. The other two are going through its processes. And we did, so just a heads up that's coming up, we did receive the revised material for the bypass, the Wilsonville Road realignment today. And that will not be coming back to you, as I mentioned before. That will be going directly on to the City Council. So Jessica will be working on the staff report for that and taking that. We're anticipating April 18th going to the City Council for a resolution and a decision on that modified application, per your recommendation.
I have one more thing too. The speaking of urban growth boundary amendments, we got the Phil. I saw that. We got a grant from DLCD. Initially, we talked with DLCD about getting a grant for economic opportunities analysis and housing needs analysis. But then the streamlined urban growth boundary amendment administrative rules went into effect. So DLCD doesn't want to fund the old method anymore. So our grant has morphed into UGB pre-work, setting us up for a streamlined UGB amendment process. We're calling this Newburgh 2030 because the streamlined process is a 14-year UGB instead of 20 years. We have an RFP out for consultants, which is due tomorrow. We are doing a collaborative process. We've got a PAC. It does not include any elected officials, I'm sorry to say. So, which is, I think, a positive thing. You know, so we decided that we would not have Planning Commission or City Council on this PAC. We would do a concerted citizen effort, and then it will be coming to you guys, you know, for updates and things like that. But it's got 15 people on the PAC, and including Sid from Friends of Yamhill County and various other business and just resident interests represented. And the intent is that it's open, transparent, collaborative ahead of time and through the process instead of at the end fighting about it. So hopefully that will work out. So the first four tasks we'll be doing from now till May 2017 is community vision and goals, ideas about density, like how our residential density is now. And I think that will play into how much we need to expand. So we'll be looking at that. A buildable lands inventory. First look at the UGB study area, and that's all spelled out in the new administrative rule about how far out that goes. There is an exception for exception lands that are 2 acres or less, which are rural residential parcels that are 2 acres or less, don't have to be considered for employment land. So that's positive. And then the fourth thing will be an action plan, and that will be guiding us forward into the UGB amendment. We're eligible after June 2017. We should be getting our population forecast per state rules, and then we'll be eligible.
A couple other items of note under other reports, following on with Jessica, is the Newburgh Downtown Improvement Plan. The next community visioning workshop at the Cultural Center is March 15th, 4:30 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. So I encourage all of you to come by. There'll be a formal presentation at 4:45, and then there'll be stations set up to be able to take people's feedback. I think I mentioned before there's the 10 big ideas that are out there related to transportation, gateways, art, north and south connectivity, and east gateway, mill district as well. So I'll encourage all of you to come and share your thoughts and opinions on that. The historic grant that we've got to do some additional survey work in the downtown area, and that boundary mirrors what's going on with the downtown plan. RFP was out, we got a response, we're working on the contract now and the letter to award that, to get that work done, which has to be done by the end of August of 2016. And then the last piece is the economic development strategy. I've mentioned this several times over the months. We're rapidly getting towards the end of that process. There'll be a meeting with council, the chamber board, the downtown coalition board, a couple of developers and banking industry, and then Austin is kind of the core group of this. And looking at that final document, hopefully we'll get the head shake of consensus that everybody agrees, but all the feedback, we're on version 9, working on version 10. Everybody will agree to that, and that will lay us out a strategy over the next 3 years. Some of the strategy will go longer, the goal is longer, but trying to keep it in manageable pieces and roll it forward, basically a 3-year rolling window, rather than creating something that says we want to do this 20 years from now, because 20 years from now the economy will be completely different. We don't know what it will look like, so it's not realistic to do it that way. So we got the last round of comments, and they're due on the 15th as well, and then Matt scrambled to try to get the document finalized and put together.
Mr. Stewart? Quick question for Jessica, and then one for Doug as well. Jessica, the 2030 PAC meetings, are those public meetings, or how are those going to be held?
Yeah, I think those could be certainly open to the public. Okay. Yeah.
And then Doug or Jessica, I suppose, the state legislature passed the voter annexation. Can you comment on that?
Yes, a bill was passed. It's basically a bill that says if you have a charter provision that requires a vote of the public on it, is you don't have to do that. We'll be meeting with our legal counsel next week to talk through that particular bill. I read it again before I came in tonight. And so there's some pros and cons. Don't know if that might get legally challenged. There's roughly 32 cities within the state who have voter-approved annexations. Someone may challenge it if they were successful. Then what would that do if you went through an annexation process and did not go to the voters when your charter said you had to? Of course, then the other side of the coin is, well, nobody ever challenged that new law, and it's on the books. But the voters here in Newburgh did adopt charter amendment to require the voter annexation. So we'll talk with legal counsel and get some additional guidance on that.
Are the economic development meetings you talked, are those public as well, or?
They have been, it's been a work group, effectively, and this was actually initiated by the chamber through their economic development task force. And so when I got here, I was asked to work with them to try to create not a city economic development strategy, but a community economic development strategy. So it has involved the chamber, the city, the downtown coalition, is kind of the core group, along with Austin Industries. Mr. Wolf graciously provided us some early input from the financial community as well early in that process. And then a couple of developers in town. So that's kind of the core group who's putting this together. There will be a public process, at least from the city. Right now, we've got it tentatively scheduled on the April 18th council calendar to present that economic strategy. And then we'll be looking for and hoping that the chamber board and the downtown coalition will also take some type of official action in front of their boards acknowledging the document.
Anyone else? Any comments from the commissioners? Any editorials, comments, opinions? Seeing none, we are rapidly approaching a close of this meeting. I'd like to remind everybody, take their cell phones back out. take it off vibrator silent so you don't miss that call. And at that point, we will adjourn this meeting. Thank you for your attendance.